Hey, Brown Girls. If you hadn't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. One, it's free. Two, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Three, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Four, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And lastly, it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. All you need to do is download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Do you have an appreciation for your own worth? Is prioritizing your own happiness important to you? Are you aware of how strong you are despite the challenges in your life? Do you respect yourself and require others to show you respect? The essential question that needs to be answered is this: Black women, do you love yourself? What's going on, y'all? It's your girl, Lady J, and it is season two of the newly named podcast, Conversations with a Brown Girl. Thank you for pressing play and listening to my voice. I truly appreciate it. I told you all on the last episode of season one that I wanted to have more guests, and today we are in for a treat. But let me break down what today's conversation is about. My guest and I will be discussing, what does it mean to love yourself? Do Black women make loving and respecting ourselves a priority? Do we make our happiness a priority? And what holds us back from loving ourselves? And, you know, I always want to leave you with some self-improvement tips, so the episode will end with my guests giving suggestions on how to love yourselves better. After this episode, don't forget to go to my website, forbrowngirlsblog.com, so you can read my blog, join my email list to receive a free monthly newsletter, and be automatically entered into contests, giveaways, and possibly be featured as the Hey Brown Girl of the Month. I have some merch for you all to purchase, and because you all are loyal listeners, you can receive $10 off by using the code HBG10. That's HBG10. Hit the link in the show notes. And last but not least, please rate and review this episode. All Apple reviews will be spotlighted in my Instagram stories and will receive a shout out on my next episode. All right, y'all, let's get the conversation started. Hello, Brown Girls. It is season two, episode one. And as I promised, I have brought some guests to the conversation. Each of these ladies have their own podcast that I frequently listen to. Each of their shows are unique unto themselves, and I truly respect their work, their hustle, and each of them have been supportive of me during this whole journey. Actually, since I started blogging, and they welcomed me into the podcasting world, and they've been very supportive. So I'm really, really grateful and thankful to have them being agreeing to be part of the conversation. Conversations with a Brown Girl, this is season two. I'm excited. So with that being said, welcome to the conversation, and please introduce yourself. Shan, let's start with you.
I'm Shan. I am the creator of Cozy Womb Podcast and She Gets a Podcast, and one of three members of So What Pagey on Bay, which is kind of like a book club with some friends. And I'm a mom of two, and I don't know how to not create. So that's why I kind of jumped into podcast life. I didn't know what a podcast was when I started. And it was just a way to vent, and the vent has been going since 2018 till now. So here I am.
All right. Well, welcome. Thank you, Jay Boog.
All right. Well, this is Jay. I host the podcast, Jay's Quick Three. Let's see. That's all I host. I'm not like Shan. I'm not a Renaissance woman, but I have Jay's Quick Three. I've been podcasting now for about a year and a half. Started in March of 2019. And I'm a fur baby mom. I have two Yorkies. They drive me crazy enough, but I also started podcasting as a way to be creative. I was really into writing way back in the day, writing short stories, poetry, and stuff like that. And then I kind of fell off from that, and I started getting a bug to try to figure out some way to be creative in some form. About 2017, 2018, I couldn't figure out what it was. Again, I didn't know what a podcast was. I started getting into political podcasts. I guess that's what they were at the time because of what was going on back in 2016. I wanted to try to help prevent what is happening now. So I wanted to be as informed as I could be. So I would listen to a lot of podcasts talking about the upcoming election at that point. And then I just decided to jump in 2019 and give it a try. And I've been loving it so far. It's a dope way to, like Shan said, get my thoughts and ideas and things out.
All right. Well, thank you, ladies, for sharing. Please check out their podcast. They're really good. They're informative. They're funny. So with that being said, we're just going to dive in. We're going to start the conversation. So like I said in the intro, we are talking about Black women and self-love. And you guys know I love to look up words and know what their definitions are. So when I looked up self-love, it means to love oneself as an appreciation of one's own worth or a proper regard for and attention to one's own happiness. So what's your opinion on these definitions? Like, do you agree with one or both? Like, tell me what you think about that. Just jump right in.
I agree with appreciating your own growth. I think self-love will be different for everybody because people even struggle with what love is. But it's just appreciating all the pros and cons of who you are for me entirely.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I actually agree with both of them. And like she said, it's going to be different for everyone because not every person feels or reacts the same way to different things. But I think one constant thing is appreciating your own worth. I feel like if you don't appreciate your worth, then you kind of don't really have anything to gauge to appreciate anything else. So I agree with that.
Yeah, I kind of like the first one, an appreciation of your own worth. But, you know, the question is, like, do we know what our worth is? That's another question. Like, do we know what we bring to the table, who we are? And I find through my 40 years of life, you know, I'm just now to the point where I can say I know who I am and I know what I bring to the table and I know what I'm worth. So let's get personal. Do you, and I guess I'll start with that first question, do you know your own worth? Like, how do you identify you as being worthy, if that makes sense? What is your worth?
For me, I do know my own worth. I want to say in my early 20s, I was searching for it. Like, I knew I was talented in just like art design. I knew I was witty and good with words, good with writing, and coming up with a creative way. I knew that was me. But as far as like my characteristic and how people would rate me in relationships, friendships, partnerships, romantic relationships, I always wondered, like, how can I be a better person for them? And through experiences, it kind of transitioned from being a better person for someone else to being a better person for me. I would say my mid-20s, I started to realize that it can't be anybody else's fault on why I don't know something, why I can't do something correctly. It was up to me to go ahead and research it and find a better way and work through all of my cons so I could be better later on. And then now that I'm in my 30s, I'm just like laying all my things on the table, good and bad. And I can honestly say that I still have work to do on myself, and I'm not inviting anybody else to my my pool bowl, so to speak, until I feel like I can completely be healthy within a relationship, owning everything that I have. So yeah, it took a time.
Yeah, and I would say, do I appreciate my own worth? I think, to kind of piggyback, I think I'm still a work in progress. I know a lot more now than I did when I was in my 20s and 30s. But I've never had an issue with letting other people know what my worth is. It's kind of like, I don't know if you want to say fake it till you make it. It's like, I know the standard that I want other people to treat me. At whether it's at work or friendship or relationship. So I'm putting that out there. This is what I'm going to accept. This is what I'm not going to accept. This is how you're going to treat me. I know I'm worth this pay, or I know I'm worth this position. I know you can't tell me what I can or cannot do if I know I have the education for this, or just in a friendship, this is what I'm going to tolerate. This is what I'm not. I'm giving you as much as I can as a friend. I just expect that kind of thing back. So I'm pretty good at like setting those things, but to myself, I've had issues with not beating myself up over things. Like, yeah, I can tell everybody else what I'm worth, but can I tell myself that? And I really struggled with that, say in my 20s and 30s. And it's still like, sometimes I have to snap myself out of it. Like, girl, what are you doing? Like, you're good. Like, you don't have to like beat yourself up, or, you know, look at all this stuff that you've accomplished, or look what you've done. So that has been a struggle. But I can't say I'm a lot better with that.
Yeah, I would agree. When I think of worth, like knowing your own worth, appreciating your own worth, like, I feel like that's also tied up into like confidence and self-esteem. And that's something that I definitely struggled with a lot, especially like in school, high school, college, grad school. Like, I really struggled a lot. And like I said before, I'm to the point now where I can honestly look in the mirror and say that I am worth this and I am worth that. I can command a certain amount of respect, but I feel like life has had to teach me those lessons that I am worth it. You know, and I really struggled with, even just up until recently, like a couple years ago, I was talking with someone earlier and we were talking about some of the teachers that we follow on Instagram. And these teachers are like, you know, we're now in a virtual world. And one teacher was like, these are the things that I have, that I found useful, that has made my class a success. And she showed her desk. She had 2 laptops, an iPad, a cell phone, a ring light. And I'm thinking, like, I only have 1 laptop and a phone, and I feel like I can make it work. And the woman I was talking to, she was like, yeah, they're good, but I feel like that's their identity. And that brought me back to my own experience when I lost my job teaching. My identity was wrapped up in teaching. So when I lost my job, I didn't know who I was. And that really affected my self-esteem because I didn't feel worthy of getting a teaching job. So I have been through a lot of ups and downs. And like you all said, it's a boundary that you have to kind of set with people, Jay. That's kind of like what I was getting from you. Like, this is how you want to treat me. And owning your good and bad, Shan, like you said, and just growing from it and learning from it and knowing that I still have more to grow. I still have more growing to do, but I am worth the respect and honor and all good things that should be coming to me and how I should be treated. So do you ladies know your own strength?
Yes.
I do now.
I hate it and I love it at the same time because I remember like being in my 20s, pushing myself to the limit, to the point where I was exhausted. I was working two jobs, a full-time internship, doing overnights at the Gap, sleeping at the airport, waiting for the early train so I could do a morning shift at work and then go to class, walking 2 miles after like 1 a.m. after my internship home because I didn't want to ask for help, because I didn't want anybody to know I needed them, being really stubborn and thinking that was going to make me a better person, so just do it. Now I know I'm gonna ask for help before I really, really, really need help, or I'm really, really, really stressed, or I'm pushing myself to the edge because it's not about me. It's about me being better for my two girls. And if I can't fully mentally and physically be there for them, then I'm no good. So to any young person listening, don't push yourself thinking that's going to make you a better person. It's just going to make you more exhausted and frustrated compared to someone else. When you see someone else getting achievements and you know how hard you're going in for what you want and you're not getting it, look for the smarter way, the more efficient way to do things, and don't be so stubborn. I was very stubborn when I was younger.
Yeah, I kind of did the same thing. Obviously, I just have my Yorkie, so I'm just pushing for myself for most of the time. But in college, yes, junior, senior year, full-time student working three jobs just because I didn't want, like, in the beginning, my mom was paying for college. I wanted to make it on my own, and I was going to college. I'm from Michigan, going to college in Texas. I had all these out-of-state fees. I think I ended up using somebody's address just so I can be considered in state, so it would take off all those fees, and then I was just paying for college myself through scholarships and just working those three jobs so I wouldn't have to have my mom doing it. And it's the same thing. And when I started working professionally after college, I'm putting in, like, I look back at it. Do I know my own strength? Yes. But can it be a detriment to you? Like Shan was saying, it can be, if you don't like keep a, you know, you got another boundary, you got to set one for yourself. I spent my whole 20s up until 29. I'm working like 60, 70 hours a week. For what? Like, what can I show for it other than I had a little bit of money, but I couldn't even spend it because I was always at work. And when I wasn't at work, I was too tired to do anything. So it was like, I look back, especially like say at 32, I was looking back like, man, I mean, I had some good times in my 20s. I really did. I partied on when I had my days off, but how did I waste? How did I wake up and wait and see that I'm 32? And then what did I do but work all that time just to grind, just so I wouldn't have to ask people for help? So I wouldn't have to ask my mom if she can help me pay a bill or whatever, just because I don't know. It's something in me that had that, but you know, you have to set that boundary. You have to have some kind of balance in your life, because if you're going so hard, like she was saying, life is just passing you by and you're running yourself ragged. For what? Like, I literally felt 50 years old at like 35 because I was going so hard. For what, you know, for what reason? So I definitely agree with that. I do know my own strength. I know I can, it's a lot of things I can do, but yeah, you want to set those boundaries with yourself.
It's interesting when you talk to, in my experience, about Black women and strength, and they always equate it to not wanting to ask for help. Yep. And I always find that interesting. Shameless plug, I did a podcast episode called Being a Strong Black Woman is Bad for Your Health. Mm-hmm. And in it talked about Black women not wanting to ask for help because they didn't trust people, because they didn't want to seem weak, they didn't want to be a burden. I'm trying to think of some other things. Like they saw their mothers being strong and not asking for help, but they didn't have a problem helping other people, even though they knew it was a detriment to their health, because a lot of them felt like they didn't want to let people down. They felt guilty. And I just think it's interesting that Black women, we are so willing to put ourselves on the back burner despite what we have going on in our lives to help other people be strong, when a lot of times, unfortunately, we don't have that same support. Mm-hmm. You know, it's us doing it by ourselves, for ourselves, or for our families, because we feel like that's what we have to do. To answer my own question, I was similar. I didn't want to be a burden. You know, I'm a married woman, and part of being married, in my opinion, is having a partner, someone to rely on, someone to help you through things. And there was some struggles that I was going through that I didn't want to burden him with, because my husband had a stressful job. And at the time we were kind of going through some marital problems, and we were having family issues with our kid, and I just didn't want to be a burden. And that ultimately led to me basically just like mentally breaking down. Like I mentally just kind of snapped, and I ended up having to go like through a partial program and like intensive therapy and put on medication. And after I went through that process, I realized that there's strength in asking for help, that you realize that you can't do it on your own and that you need help. So now I try to make it a point to ask for help, or to say, I can't do this, can you help me with this? Or I can't do this, can you do this for me? So I have grown in my personal journey that in my own strength, I know that I can't do it by myself. And it was a very, very difficult journey to go through. I would not wish that on anybody. But I would say going through that whole mental health struggle, it taught me a lot about who I am. And it made me, ironically, stronger. Not stronger in the fact that I'm going to go through things by myself, but stronger in the fact that I know that I can't do it all. And I'm not going to do it all because I'm not supposed to. There's a quote, and I can't think of it directly, but it's basically, it's saying that the load is heavy because it's not meant for you to carry alone. Mm. And that's something that I try to remember. Like at work, a lot of times, what do you have? You have a team of people, because you can't carry the load of whatever your job assignment is. Like with teachers, we may all have our individual subjects, but we're a team because we need to work together to help these kids. So in my own finding or knowing my strength journey, I realized that I can't do it by myself, that I need help, that I gotta rely on other people. Because if not, you know, I refuse to go back to where I was. I tell my husband that all the time. I'm not going back. I'm only going forward.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember being in like the closest to the healthiest type of relationship I've ever had with someone who I considered a very close friend. And it got to a point where it was either I was going to move completely West Coast and stay with him without anybody, without a job, without knowing how to drive, without like any like net. And he was willing to like pay for my move, take me to go look for jobs, and just like basically take care of me until I could. I'm just like, oh my God, I can't do it. Not that I don't trust you to do it. I don't feel comfortable and I don't feel safe completely relying on someone to have my back. Mm-hmm. And his choice could have been that he could move to New York, but I felt so much guilt just even having the thought that somebody would care for me so much and care about this relationship so much that they will move to a city that they're completely alien about because he's from the South. He doesn't like busyness. He doesn't like cold. And he would completely put himself somewhere where he doesn't understand the culture for me. And I didn't want that that weight of someone needing me that much. Mm. So I didn't give him my answer, and he didn't want to tell me, you know, tell me what you want me to do, because I don't want a person to know that I want them to do anything. It's kind of like I lived on this cloud of, I just want you to do it, and that's not realistic. So because I had too much pride and too much insecurities to allow somebody to carry me a little bit, I just completely like deaded that relationship. And so years later, we got to talk about it and I explained to him, like, I don't know how to allow someone to help me. And that was too much help. You were trying to help me too much. And I shut that down because it's too much on the line. It's too risky. So I just leave it alone. So it sucks. It sucks. Because it could be a really good thing that you're blocking yourself from, and it could be an opportunity work-wise that you're blocking yourself from because you haven't dealt with allowing the fact that you're a great person and somebody would want to do something for you to allow that to happen. So, yeah, and I've seen it.
Like doing the work.
Yeah.
You know, it's all like interconnected. It's like, I like to equate things like that to like a bowl of spaghetti. Like you can never find just one noodle. Like all of them are just like connected somehow. Mm-hmm. But strength, where if they're all words that can mean many things to many people. Let's go to respect. Do you respect yourself and your well-being enough to demand more? I know we touched on it a little bit, but if we could dive deeper into it.
I would say yes. I don't put myself in jobs that will benefit from me more than I will. I don't put myself in relationships where people take from me and they don't reciprocate. And I don't allow people to interrupt my peace. So I'll purposely get a house completely away from people so that if I do want to see people, I make that effort or I allow you to come into my space. Because it's just a healthier way to decide, wake up and decide, do I want to invite you into my energy? Do I want your energy here? And I think a lot of people may assume they need to have all these people around because it makes them better. But sometimes people don't make you better. And sometimes you just need to be alone in your space to go ahead and digest what you need. So I think I am good now about respecting myself and demanding more. I could work X amount of jobs, but I know where I am now and I don't have the patience for it. So yes, I know you want me to work here, but I cannot work here because I've passed the stage in my needs now. So yeah, I would say yes.
Yeah, and I kind of touched on it, I guess, earlier. I didn't mean to skip ahead or whatever, but
no, you're fine.
I guess you can say I get it from just my mom. When you touched on it just a minute ago, when we were talking about the strength, about how we see those things maybe in our moms, like their strength. And my mom was also kind of like an alpha woman. Like you're going to get, she's not mean. She's super nice, but you already know she don't play around from get up. Mm-hmm. So you have to respect her, you know? So I kind of just get that I don't know. I don't want to call it an attitude, but it's just some kind of something within me that I'm always respectful of everyone. And so it's just, I automatically expect you to give that respect back to me. And if you don't, then that's when we have the issues. I'm a Cancer. I'm also an introvert. So
come on, sensitivity.
I don't like to use the word sensitive, but I'm definitely, I like to be by myself. And anybody that's coming into my space, just like Shan was saying, I feel that bad energy, or I feel like if you're interrupting any kind of peace that I'm having, then I can't do that. So yeah, I have my place, just like she said, by myself. And if I want to hang out with friends or do stuff, I go to them. Most of the time they don't come to me, just because I can leave when I'm ready. I can drive my own car. I can do that stuff. And I can just politely just see myself out and not make a big scene. If somebody's in my house being disruptful, then I'm going to have to kick everybody out. And I don't want to have to do that. I just want to say, hey, all right, guys, I'll talk to you guys later, and just go about, you know, going about my way.
Be like, so, Martin, get this.
Yes. Luckily, I have not had to kick anybody out. But I think they know when I get that look, like, all right, I'm going to take the dogs out because we're getting ready to go to bed. I think everybody is, y'all ready to go? And then they can head out. But no, respect for myself, I've never had an issue with that. It's a part of kind of like knowing your worth. I think it kind of goes hand in hand. And just demanding people honor that respect. Like, they have to. You have to have that aura about you.
Yeah, I remember that episode, Jay, when you were talking about, you know, you being an introvert. And when I think I reached out to you on Twitter, I was like, I'm an introvert as well. And like, if you're my friend, if I allow you into my space, literally and figuratively, like my friendship and in my home, then we have a connection. Other than that, it's, hey, how you doing? We can kiki at work. Like, I had a really nice conversation with my coworker today. But we're not best friends. Like, I keep people at arm's length. And I think that came from being hurt a lot. Because when I was younger, you know, I was always different from everybody. I don't know why. I've just always kind of, I never fit in. And I would try, and I would be a people pleaser, and people would use me or be my friend and then talk about me. And after a while, it was like, you know what? It's not them, it's me. And I think by the time I got to college, that's when, I mean, I've always been an introvert, but that's when I really started to like understand what that was. Like, I like my space. Mm-hmm. I recharge when I'm alone. Like, I'm like, even being married, and I'm very thankful for my husband, because he knows, like, there are days where he'll take the kid and they'll go out, even if it's just for a couple of hours, just to give me time alone. Mm-hmm. Because I just need that. And, you know, he respects that. He knows that. I don't want to say I demand it, but I kind of like, I almost need it. Like, I need my solitude. My solitude is where I kind of like process my day. It's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just like me just being recharged and rejuvenating and just shedding the day off, especially since I started back work. I mean, I was at home for 3 years. Now I'm back to work 8 to 3:50 or 8 to 3. And it's, I have long days and I haven't even started teaching yet. So when I come home, I come home, I take a shower and I chill in the bedroom. But back to like respecting myself, it took me a while to get there. And again, life experience just kind of taught me that. And even going through that whole mental health struggle, I had to really demand more respect from other people. I had to set up more rigid boundaries because I found myself giving more than I was receiving, and that was depleting me. And after, I've been in therapy for a long time, but after being in a lot of therapy, it was like, you have to demand You have, like, no is a complete sentence. I'm learning that. No is a complete sentence.
And a lot of love and no, honey.
Yes, and that's where I'm at. No is a complete sentence. Can you? No. We no. What about no? No, thank you. What? No. Like, even at my job, I love to be involved. But I have to tell myself, don't do more. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Set that boundary within yourself. Respect your peace. Respect the fact that you are returning to work after 3 years. Respect the fact that you have a family that you have to be, you know, mindful of taking care of, and you don't want to stretch yourself too thin. So I have to kind of demand respect from myself to say, respect yourself enough to respect yourself to say no, and to recognize those boundaries. But it took me a minute to get there. And I don't want to say I still struggle with it, but I'm more sure of the respect that I need to command from other people, like with coworkers. And, you know, definitely I've always never had that problem with students, but just to know, like, what I can bring to the table, and you're going to respect my craft and my wisdom and my knowledge. So do I respect myself? Yes. And I do believe that I am starting to demand more respect from other people. And that's something that I'm kind of proud of, because I couldn't always say that.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, yeah, a lot of what I kind of was meaning with the whole respect thing was having to do with work. Because when you're, especially as a woman in kind of like a male dominated industry, which a lot of them are, and being a Black woman on top of that, it's just, nobody's going to tell you that they don't think you have enough education, or they don't think that you don't know enough, or they don't think you can do the job, but you can tell in kind of the way that they maybe give you projects or maybe just say little things. So it's kind of like, that's where, you know, I've been doing that for almost 20 years. So now I already know when I step into a room, you're going to know what I can do. I have the things to back it up to say that I know what I can do, and that's it. And we're not going to have a conversation about it because my work proves it. So I kind of not necessarily have a chip on my shoulder, but you kind of have to be able to stand up to people, because they'll just ignore you. Like, yeah, they're just, oh, so-and-so, okay, you go do this. I want you to do this. Oh, you can just, if you just want to hang out up front. Why do I want to hang out? Like, I can do stuff too. Like, I'm not fragile. Like, yeah, I can run this whole, like, you can go sit down and let me go do what I need to do. So you kind of got to have that chip on the shoulder until they realize, oh, she's the real deal. And then you can kind of ease up. Never, like I said, I'm not the angry Black woman. I'm never rude. I never have an attitude, but I do have that, I guess, air about me that you're going to have to respect.
It's just direct. People mistake someone being direct as them being rude or mean. No, I'm direct.
Right. Right. You're right.
But it's more like, so, okay. I'm not going to get too political, but I just think about Hillary Clinton, right? And you don't have to agree with her politics, but to me, she was about her business. She was intelligent. She knew what she was talking about, and she was very direct. And I feel like a lot of people, men and women, didn't like the fact that a woman could hold her own the way she did. And it's frustrating as a woman, and even as a Black woman, because it's like, now it's, you're seen as double trouble, because as soon as you show a bit of emotion, oh, you're angry, or people are scared of you, or, you know, oh, you need to calm down, you know. But it's just interesting that if Hillary Clinton was a man, then people would be praising him because, oh, he's intelligent, he can hold his own, he knows what he's talking about, he's direct. Or they equate like directness with being bitchy, which I don't get if I'm in a position of like, I don't want to say, well, I guess power, like management, right? And mm-hmm. I'm your supervisor and I'm directing you to do something. And, you know, men don't necessarily like to take orders from women, especially a Black woman. Yep. Or you have some women, especially white women, some white women who don't like to take orders from a Black woman. And then they'll start crying and saying, oh, she was mean. And
yes,
you have to have a meeting. And
come on, so victim.
That doesn't work with me.
The we don't want to say names. Let's talk to everybody as if they're doing this thing. No, I want you to say a name so we can talk through the situation, because a lot of white women in corporate settings do not like being corrected.
Yeah.
That's what it is the fact that you know better and you're correcting me. And then on top of that, your skin is darker than mine.
Not even in corporate, in education. Mm. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. I had a friend of mine tell a story on Instagram. And, you know, not everybody is like a happy, chipper-go-lucky person, but that doesn't mean that they're mean. And this person, she's pleasant, but she's not like all smiles and I'm skipping through the tulips type of person. And something happened at work, and one of her white coworkers like went to her boss and was like, oh, such and such is treating me mean. She's mean to me, and was crying in the office. And my friend was reprimanded. And my friend was like, I don't know what you want. Like, you want me to hug you and sing and do cartwheels every time I see you? It's like, I don't have to smile all the time. Doesn't mean that I'm mean or not pleasant, but it's like, I feel like women are, especially Black women, we're mm-hmm. damned if we do, damned if we don't. Right. Like, there's never anything that we could do right. We're either angry or we're lazy or we're bitchy or we're too passive.
And that's why this week, I think yesterday, I did two episodes for Cozy One Podcast. I did an episode on teaching your daughters how to share their opinion, because I feel like if you don't correct or guide young girls how to share their opinion without coming off loud or angry or this, you're going to get that later on. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the middle of training them how to share their opinion, how to let other people have an opinion and not be bothered by it. Also an episode on how to teach your children how to control their urges. Somebody does something to you, you might get really angry. If you don't teach them now, they're going to get to teenagers, they're going to get bigger than you, they're going to be in their 20s, they're going to get bigger than you, and they're not going to understand that. So, yeah, that's something that I feel like a lot of adult people still don't know how to do.
Tell me about it. Mm-hmm. Let's go to happiness. Do you ladies make happiness, or your happiness, I have to say, a priority?
Yes, 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 yes. I think for a long time Black women were taught to put their happiness on a back burner.
Mm-hmm.
And now that women have more opportunity and Black women are the most educated now, I think we're trying to balance priorities, happiness, needs, wants, and relationship. And for the most part, I would hope that more women are recognizing that they don't need someone externally for their happiness. So for me, I think a lot of Black women are getting happy within themselves first. And that's what we need to see, because we are the start and end to everything. So I would say yes. I think we become more happier putting it as priority.
Yeah, that's another kind of work in progress type thing. Because I think I don't know if it's just women or it could be Black women, but it's kind of like touching on what we said before, is that we're kind of like the backbone of the family, of the community, of whatever. We're taking care of kids, taking care of our spouses, whether it's like emotionally or whatever it is, you know, like we feel like we have to be that to everybody. We have to be everything to everybody. And sometimes you push your happiness aside. And when you were talking earlier about, again, watching our parents, like I didn't, not that my mom wasn't happy, but I saw my mom just take control of whatever was wrong. Like, you know, if, you know, my dad got into a car accident and he couldn't work. So what does she do? She goes and gets 2 and 3 jobs just so me and my sister would be taken care of and the family would be taken care of. She didn't care about, you know, she would make sure we ate. And, you know, make sure we're good and send us to bed. And if she's, you know, can't because she has to go to work or she's running late or whatever, she might not get a bite to eat. So it's taking care of herself. Is she doing things that would make her happy, or is she just doing things that is needed and a priority, I guess, to her is her family. And so when you kind of grow up seeing that, I guess that stuff just isn't in the forefront. I never thought about, what am I doing to make me happy? I was always thinking about what do I need to do to survive and just stay afloat. And yeah, I may be happy on the surface, but really happy inside. Like it took me, you know, I also do therapy. I'm not in it right now, but I was doing it for a full year up until the end of last year. And then I did it a couple of years before that. So I kind of do these little check-ins with my therapist or whatever, but those are things that we were working on. Like, what makes you happy? And if I can't answer that, I'm looking at myself like, why can't I answer that? Well, because I never put my happiness up front. I was like, I have bills to pay. Let me do this. Or this, I want to accomplish this. Let me get this degree. Or I want to get this job. So what do I need to do to get that? It never really considered, am I doing anything to make myself happy? Which is kind of another reason why I jumped into podcasting, because I needed, her suggestion was, what are you going to do? You have to do something where you can get some accomplishment for yourself out. Get a hobby, do something. And that's when I talked about how I used to write and stuff, and we came up with the podcasting, but which now I do have that release. But, you know, it's easy, I think, for us, especially with you that have families, I think, to just get caught up in everything that's going on. Like Shan was saying, there has to be some kind of balance going on. So do I make my happiness a priority? I'm working on it, and I think I'm getting better every day. I'm way better than I was a couple of years ago, or 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It's just a work in progress.
When was the last time you did something that made you happy?
That's what I'm saying. This whole podcasting thing is what makes me happy. Like, for me to have time to myself and zone out of everything else, especially with everything else that's going on right now this year, to come in here, get my thoughts out, be creative, create something, have some fellowship with friends and things like that, even though we don't see each other. It's mostly through Zooms and stuff like that, because I'm not trying to get out there. But those are some of the things that make me happy. But I regress sometimes, and I go back and I get into these ruts where I'm forgetting to do that. So keeping it a priority is definitely something I need to continue to work on.
Shan, when was the last time you did something that made you happy?
Girl, every Friday, girl, I try to do one thing for myself every day, once a day. So like writing, maybe switching around some furniture in my house, because I'm very big on like feng shui and giving me a different mood. I might do a do-it-yourself project. That makes me happy, making my home more homey, helps my energy, change my mood. I love cleaning. Cleaning is my therapy. It's me giving back to myself in multiple ways. That helps me think. And shoot, every Friday I make that my day. Like, I get rid of my kids and I, you know, I work out. I might take myself out for lunch by myself, and then I'll jump back into like mom life. because I did an episode on just making mom life consume you and you forget about yourself. And I remember being in my 20s and looking at women who from head to toe are like stuck in this mom zone as if they don't exist, as if they weren't individuals before this child. And I never wanted to allow that to consume me. So I make it a priority not to leave all these clothes with tags hanging in my room and not enjoying it. Maybe I'll make it a day where I might put on makeup, do my hair a certain way, and put on this dress. Where are you going? We're going to Target. You know, I don't have anywhere to go, but you got to do small things for yourself. And so it could be things that are super simple, but I need to remind myself that I'm a human being and I'm allowed to have time for myself and other people. So,
yeah, working out is a good thing. I don't know why I didn't think of that. I notice if I don't work out, I usually try to work out twice a week on my off days. If I don't work out, those are the days those are the weeks that I'm not feeling so good. I'm not feeling like myself. I'm angry at anything. It doesn't matter. There's what is it? Endorphins that come out when you work out. That definitely helps. So, you know, I do that. If I wake up, even if I'm off, I like to wake up, and I've posted it on my IG stories before. It's crazy, but I like to get up right as the sun is getting ready to rise. So if it's 6:30 or 7, I like to be outside because it's peaceful. I do my walks, I do my run, and then lately I've been watching the sunrise, and it's just so relaxing, but it's also so energizing. I feel like I have the rest of the day to do what I want, and I've gotten my exercise in, and it does help me feel better. It does help me feel happy that I have that little bit of thing, something that you're doing that's bringing you peace. So that's another thing that I do.
Yeah, I kind of feel like a broken record because I would go get my hair done every week, go get my nails and feet done every 2 weeks, get a massage once a month. Then I got real fancy and would go twice a month. But I was just still kind of not in a good place. And my therapist was like, you are doing things, but they're not fulfilling you. So you need to find something that fulfills you. So I was like, okay. And then I started blogging. And that was very fulfilling to have women message me and say your post really encouraged me. You know, I really respect and appreciate your transparency with your mental health struggles. And so I was like, and it's not that I need validation from other people, but it just made me feel good to know that what I went through wasn't in vain, that me sharing my story is helping someone get to a place where they can get better mentally, physically, however my work inspires them, that makes me happy and that's fulfilling. And, you know, going back to work and trying to blog and everything, I was like, well, maybe I should just give it up. Like, cause this is a lot, like my job requires a lot. But the other night I sat down and I actually was able to work on my blog, and that brought me so much peace and contentment. Just to sit, and even though I was making social media posts on Canva, it just brought me such a peace that I haven't felt in the last couple of weeks, because the last couple of weeks have been rough. Like I told y'all, my aunt passed away. I started working again, and then, you know, it with the pandemic, and then all these racist white folk acting crazy and mad. Yeah. It's been one thing after the other. And then when I found out that Chadwick Boseman died, I was crying like I lost, like he was my like cousin or something.
Girl, that video with Jimmy Fallon, I was bawling.
I can't watch it. I can't. There was, I saved it onto my Instagram, but I didn't watch it. But somebody had like all the Marvel like figurines, and mm-hmm. they had put, you know, in the movie when they put him in the sand mm-hmm. in Black Panther. So they had put mm-hmm. all the little Marvel figurines around and put Black Panther in the sand. I had to stop watching it. But it's just been, this year has just brought so much grief and heaviness and sorrow. Like you're starting to get weary. I know I am. And then when my aunt passed away, it was like, damn, like I got the text when I was at work. Like I'm at my job and I see the text and my boss was like, you can leave. I was like, no, I'm gonna stay, you know, I'm fine. But, you know, trying to deal with grief and work and receive information and try to plan lessons, and you still have to be a person, you still have to be a wife, you still have to be a mother. It's a lot to juggle. And it's in those moments that I have to take a step back mm-hmm. and I have to make myself a priority. And I have to say, there's something in this moment, I need to find happiness in this moment. And it did take me a while to get to that point. You know, I had to set some boundaries with my husband, you know, like, no, I'm not going to do this right now. I have to do this. When I'm done, I'll get back to you. Like, I was in therapy the other day and I, you know, it's telehealth. Everything is on Zoom now. And he came in and started talking. He knew I was, he wasn't being rude. Like, he didn't interrupt the conversation, but I was trying to like kind of hurry up and have a conversation with him. I said, but you know what? Therapy is more important. Do what you got to do. And I just set a boundary. And at that moment, my mental health is a priority. And to be honest with you, that kind of made me happy, because I was like, look at me setting boundaries and putting myself first. And my therapist was like, look at you setting boundaries. Like, she was so proud. But like you said, you can forget, because like you said, Jay, we are the backbone and we can forget ourselves, but we can't, because it's something Whoopi Goldberg said, and I've always kind of kept that close to the vest. And she basically said, you can't take care of other people if you don't take care of yourself.
Girl, don't be trying to steal my quote.
I promise you, Whoopi Goldberg said it. And when she said it, I was like, that's really powerful. So I really try to keep that in the forefront. And I really try to find things that are fulfilling, to do things that replenish my soul, to pour back in what I pour out. So I definitely, you know, like you did say, Jay, it is a work in progress. And I've gotten a lot better. But I definitely do try to make myself, you know, my happiness a priority. Mm-hmm. So we talked about ourselves. Let's talk about Black women as a whole. And just looking at some of the Black women that are in the forefront of society, it's a lot of oversexed, underdressed, you know, angry, looking at some of these reality shows. But then you have those women out in the forefront, but then you have those of us women like ourselves. And I guess out of the women that you know, let's just make it personal. Out of the women that you know, do you think Black women love themselves?
I think, Black women are usually concerned about what people think about them before they are concerned about what they think about themselves. And that's what gets us caught up and lost in the sauce, so to speak, because we project a lot of what's wrong with us onto other people. And we like to pick out what's wrong with other people when that's really saying there's something wrong with you, because your nitpicking somebody else's flaws based on your opinion. That's why I don't follow like any gossip media or anything like that, because I'm trying to fix this little house that I got. I'm not concerned about a celebrity's life. I'm not concerned about what they look like. I'm not concerned about how they come off to people. But I want to focus on what's not good with me so I could fix me to be better for everybody else I care about. And I think because we were told we had to be a certain way at work, we had to be a certain way for a man, we had to be a certain way in a room to be liked, there's all these personas of what we think we're supposed to be. And everybody's scared of putting their real self out there because someone's gonna nitpick something. And I think we have to pour into each other. My self-care quote was, you can't pour from an empty cup. If I don't feel great about myself, I can't stand behind a salon chair and make women come in here look beautiful. And most times when you go to a salon, or the girl that always does your hair, her hair usually looks a mess, or she ain't have time to do this, but she gonna make you look like a billionaire before you leave that salon. And it's about giving yourself time to process what you need to process so you can be better and so you can feel good about yourself. And so anything that you think about yourself that you want to improve it. And we just need to do a better job of giving ourselves that time and that honest conversation and being like, who cares what they think? What do you think about yourself? What do you want to look like? Is the image in the mirror that looks back at you what you feel? If not, what would you like to change? Not asking somebody else, what do you think I need to change on me? So.
Yeah, and I would just say, and I don't want to go too far because I know we're probably going to touch on, it says the reasons why. I think Black women, at least the ones I know, they love themselves, and some of them are super confident in that, and they shine through that, and they, you know, it just protrudes out of them. They know they have, you know, that self-worth, that self-confidence. They love themselves. But I think Black women are also pulled in so many directions. Again, family, job, we have to have a certain, in order to be in society, quote unquote, you have to, like she said, act a certain way. Can't be too angry, can't be too passive. And at some point, I think you start to lose your identity because you're trying to fit in all those spots at the same time, not fit in all those spots. So the love that you are having for yourself, you're kind of dimming your light just so you can exist with everything else. So I think, I don't know if the issue is that women, Black women don't love themselves, it's how. I think it's how to keep that love going and how to have that shine through. Because I think also sometimes it may be like, you feel like you're overshining someone else, so you hold that back. I think it's just a loaded question. It just depends on individual situations, but yeah, I think there's an issue in there. Like I said, we probably get into it on this next little part, but I think they do. It's just very, you know, it's a little gray line in there.
Yeah, I think about the Black woman that I know, and they do. They do love themselves. They are confident. You know, they're women who are educated, whether they've gone to college or not, but they have a certain aura about them, a certain air about them. But like you said, Jay, like getting lost, you know, and how do I keep that in the forefront? How do I love myself? So let's just get into the next question. What do you think holds Black women back from loving themselves? And I thought about this question, and I wrote some thoughts down. Of course, I don't have my notes, but I was just thinking of like, I don't know if you've experienced this, but like, say you go to a store and you see another Black woman and they look at you, but then they kind of give you the stink look. And I'm like, well, I don't, like, I just walked in a store. Like, I don't know, I haven't done anything to you. Like, I'm sorry, like, what is the problem? I've gotten those looks a lot. You know, I think, like you said, Shan, just what other people think. Like, if you think about Black women, how society views Black women, is very like Real Housewives, like NeNe, Evelyn Lozada, you know, like angry, and, you know, Cardi B, you know, whatever you think of her, you know, half naked and ignorant and things like that. And I'm not saying that that's, I'm not judging them, but I'm just saying that that's how society looks at Black women. Like, you, if you want to talk about stereotypes, it's that whole angry Black woman. You have the Jezebel, the Mamie, the one who puts her family on the back burner to take care of Massa. Like, society does not look at Black women in a favorable light. And if you just look at how Michelle Obama was treated, you know, she is the most educated first lady we've ever had. You know, she was, in my opinion, very elegant. She was poised. You know, she conducted herself always in a professional manner. And people didn't like that because she didn't fit that typical, whatever you want to say, typical Black woman, or how society, I'll put it that way, because how society views Black women. So I feel like we have all these forces and ideals and expectations forced on us that we, it kind of clouds our judgment of ourselves. I don't watch Housewives like I used to, like every once in a while, but I was watching the Potomac Housewives, and Giselle, who's supposed to be married to this pastor, who's supposed to be a first lady, she's a Christian, she's like one of the messiest ones on the show, just stirring the pot in drama with other people. And I'm like, this is why we can't get it together, because you have women looking at this and thinking this is the standard, and it's not.
What do I think holds Black women back from loving themselves is part society. I mean, look at what you were just saying, like, what's the standard of beauty? It's not anything that have to do with Black women, and the closest we get is what they call like exotic women, you know, women from different countries that may have darker skin, but it's not a Black woman. We're just getting to the point where like being natural is something that's celebrated only because we're celebrating it. If it's something, most of the time they're taking what we're doing and, you know, whitewashing it and then making it popular. That's the only way we get it. And then we get seen as being ghetto or whatever. Like, I think the reason women may have an issue with loving themselves, because who's loving us? Who's showing that example of you are important? Like, you are that. I'm not saying like, yes, your spouse or your kids and things like that. Yes, of course, family members. When we look at it as a whole, who's loving Black women? Black women are, again, the backbone, but we're also, like Malcolm X said,
the most disrespected person in America is the Black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the Black woman. The most neglected person in America is the Black woman.
We are the driving force behind voting, but who's coming for us? They're concerned about white middle America. They're concerned about, you know, other nationalities, other races, all this other stuff, but no one's really, you know, focusing on Black women and the vote when we're the ones that help, you know, get these people where they are. And I mean, it's a good thing now we have Kamala there, but look how they're beating her up. Like, yeah, she may not be the perfect candidate, but like, it's everyone is coming down on her, not everyone, but it's a lot of people coming down on her just because she's a Black woman from all sides. And it's, it, those are the things. You can only take so much. And I think that's why people revert to, okay, well, if they like this, I'm going to jump on this reality show because at least I can get money. And if they want me to joke around and be messy and talk like this, then I'm going to do that because I can't be this educated woman and make it because they pass me up for jobs. I mean, people make it. I'm saying this is like a small sector, but all these things kind of add up, I think, to why people gravitate towards that stuff. More people gravitate towards mess than they do positivity. I mean, Shade Room probably has more followers than, I don't know, I don't follow Shade Room, but you know, some other, like, Because We Can, I'm sure, you know, they don't get, NAACP doesn't get as many views as Neighborhood or whoever it is. So it's a lot that comes down on us. And I feel like if you can find that strength and you do have that confidence, yeah, you can shine through. But there's a lot of us that's not, because, you know, we allow that stuff to get to us. And then we just revert back to what works. And if it works for me to be boo-boo the fool, then that's what I'm going to do. Cause you know, I got to get my bills paid. I got to do these things, and I may still love myself, but now I'm putting other things in front of that. It's not a priority. Because whatever else may be more important. So, I think a lot of it is society, and I can't put the blame on one particular person. I'm not saying that Black men don't love us or parents don't love us or whatever, but you just look at how many Black girls are missing right now.
Yeah.
That nobody cares about. How many, as funny as it is, Meg got shot, Meg Thee Stallion gets shot by someone she was maybe messing around with. It's funny. But what if it was Taylor Swift that got shot by somebody? It would be all over CNN. It would be like, let's get him to jail. Let's do this. Oh, let's poor Taylor. Let's comfort her. Let's rally around her. Let's start a GoFundMe, whatever. It's like, because it's a Black woman and it's Meg and she's seen as, you know, sexual or whatever. Like she got shot. Like, why don't we care about that stuff? Those are the small examples I feel like come down on you. And you're like, well, if other people don't love me, then why should I love myself? And I think some people fall into that. And that's where that comes from.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Yeah. I think what stops or holds Black women back from loving themselves is knowledge of self. Mm. I don't think enough women, Black women today, understand or were told or were giving the resources to understand knowledge of self. And then we walk around with these, like, this imaginary bag of bricks on us. And when we see another Black woman, we think it's a size, let's size each other up. When in reality, it's like, let me tell you instantly what about you caught my eye. And I always make it a point to give a Black woman a compliment. I love your skin. I think you're beautiful. Girl, you wearing them shoes, or like whatever it is, to go ahead and just let her shoulders come down, because it's not a lion seeing another lion. It's women, and we have the power to own a room. And I want to let you know one-on-one that you doing it. And I think it starts with the compliment to let them know that, oh, she peeped it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I can relax now. And I teach my daughters how to give complete strangers compliments. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are surprised when a six-year-old is giving them a compliment or thanking them or saying, excuse me, or just acknowledging. And you don't have to be acknowledged because your butt is big. You don't have to be acknowledged because your titties is out.
Yeah.
You look at Cosby Show, Felicia Rashad. She's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. I don't know what her belly button looks like. I don't want to know what her belly button looks like. I don't know what above her knee looks like. I don't need to know, but I know she's beautiful and she exudes this elegance and this ladiness about her that I'm just like, that's what I want my kids to see. Like, I want them to be able to be beautiful, but not allow the fact that they're beautiful and they're cute and that's all they need to do in order to get attention. No, you need to be smart. You need to be educated. You need to be witty. You need to know how to keep your head on a swivel, carry yourself in all types of situations. So it's levels to it. And so that's what I try to pour into them. And I think if more Black women were doing that and not allowing society to validate and dictate what is beautiful, what is beauty, because a lot of these corporate companies, it was like, oh, Black women are on top of shea butter. Let's put shea butter in our soap. Yep. Black women are about this coconut oil. Let's put coconut oil in our shampoo and our soap, and let's call it. They changed the wording. It's not black, but it's Afrocentric items. We gotta put on this wall of this whole hair aisle.
Yeah,
you got this whole hair aisle, and you putting it on
black section. This wall.
And I'm just like, why can't it be mixed in?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we all be focused on our moisture of our skin and our hair? And to me, it's kind of like recognizing things like that and having the conversation. We don't have to fight. We don't have to argue. Let's just state the facts and let's have this conversation. And it doesn't have to be, I hate this about them. I don't like their lips. I don't like their butts. But look at all women today. They getting lip fillings. Their butts are bigger, their waist is snatched, they're removing ribs to have smaller waist, they're going to doctors to get things done. And I'm just like, if you hate us so much, why are you trying to look like us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even still, that doesn't tell Black women that they are beautiful, that they are it. Because while other cultures are trying to look like Black women, we are trying to get our hair the straightest. We're trying to buy the most exotic wigs that are super straight, super long, can curl, looks the realest. I'm just like, what's wrong with your real hair? What's wrong with allowing somebody to really see you, feel you, and know what it is like to be in your essence? And that's what I try to teach my girls, because we're all different. My hair is completely different from their hair. My six-year-old's hair is completely different from my three-year-old's. And I try to embrace them within the same room so they don't feel like, oh, mommy told me this in the room when it was just me and her. And she told me this in the bathroom. No, I'm going to tell y'all what I like about y'all in the same room so y'all could hear another woman talk about another woman. And it's not like a better than moment. It doesn't have to be a better than moment. It could be, I'm talking about what makes you like great, and you can hear what makes her great, and y'all could still be in the same room and have a great time. So it's a lot, but it's constantly pouring into each other. Like, we have to do it even if we're complete strangers.
Yeah, I did a I had a when I taught seniors, I started a group called Sister to Sister. And the school that I taught at was like 99.99999% Black. And I opened it up to my senior girls, and we would meet at lunch. And one of the first things that we did was I made them all stand in a straight line. And one person had to go down the line and give a compliment to the person in front of them. And it had to be more than superficial, like, I like your hair, or I like your shoes. It had to be something about their personality or something that you saw that you admire. And I did that because there were a lot of little beefs in the room, and a lot of, I don't like her because she has long hair, or I don't like her because of this. And I had to kind of break them out of that, because I said the only way that we want to get to a point where we can move forward and get the most from this is if we stop this hatred that we have for each other, these stupid little beefs that we have. We're going to talk it out. And I had them even do an exercise where look in the mirror and write down what you see. And a lot of them had a lot of negative things to say, because why? It went back to that whole standard of beauty. you know, I'm dark skinned or I'm this. And that's why I love that Beyonce song, Brown Skin Girl, because she celebrated Black, well, not even Black women, but just women of color of a darker hue to let them know that they are beautiful. Because what does society say? If you're lighter, you're the better, you're closer to white, which I don't agree with, you know. And like, even going back to like what society says the standard of beauty, like I had a student tell me that Kim Kardashian was her role model. I flipped out. I said, let me tell you something. I said, what you said is offensive to me, and I'm gonna tell you why. I worked hard to get my 2 degrees. I went to school for 6 years. I stay up late researching and planning and finding fun activities to keep you all engaged, to help you succeed, to go out into this world, whether you go to college or trade school, and you gonna sit there and tell me that a woman that had laid on her back and spread her legs
while her mama watched
and had a tape released, that's your role model? And I said, that's an insult to me. And I said, you think about what you said, and you think about what you just said to me. What you just said to me basically is a woman who is, I don't even know what to call it. I don't even know.
Kim Kardashian is Kim Kardashian's role model. Kim Kardashian don't even know what the old self of her looks like. And to me, when I look at the Kardashian as a whole, they have a lot of self-hate going on because Khloe don't even know what Khloe looked like no more. I don't know who said it on Khloe.
What I think Wendy Williams said it best, that when your kids come out, they're not going to look like you because they're going to have your old nose, your old lips, all this other stuff. Like,
What she going to do if her daughter gets her chin? Tell her to go get it fixed? That's your genes. Own that shit.
That we could do a whole episode on the Kardashians. But you know what? And this is again, if you want to take it in another direction, I don't know if y'all remember Kim Zolciak from the white girl from Real Housewives. Mm-hmm. She looks completely different. Mm-hmm. And she has allowed her daughters to get plastic surgery.
You think and the young one too?
I think
I know, so. I know the oldest one, definitely. They have matching faces.
She's a hot mess, that older one. But again, standard of beauty. Like, I know the older one, definitely, she's got her lips done. She had breast implants. She's very sexualized. Like, I don't watch that show, but I saw the commercial and I was just like, I can't. But again, just like, what was wrong? I thought, to me, the original Kim, I thought she was prettier than what she is now. I don't get it. You know, like.
I just like, girl, how does it feel to wake up every morning and put your face on, like, today is your funeral, your wake. Like, why do you want to subject yourself to that? And it's self-hate. It is self-hate. It's a different type of it, but it's self-hate. And it's kind of like, shoot, let her do what she do. But when she said that she wanted to get into the criminal justice system and help people get out of such and such, and she wanted to be this, I'm just like, girl, you are disrespectful for the amount of people that scratched and paid to go to law school to even get to in the rooms that you are in because you were willing to have a sex tape and you were willing to allow your mom to pimp you and your sisters out on national television.
But that goes to, why is she allowed to do that? Why, who's giving her that opportunity? And it's the consumer, it's society that allow her to not have to have a law degree to be able to get these people. She's doing good things, but I mean, you're right. There's other people that actually fought for their law degrees and actually she's not doing anything. She has lawyers that work for her. that's doing it. It's just she's the face of it.
Yeah.
But again, that narrative is pushed because she's a pretty girl. And that's the thing that people look to. That's the people that look, that's what they look to. And that's what these girls see. I mean, these Kardashians have million, I think, I don't know which one, the youngest Kylie. One. Is it Kylie?
Yeah.
I think she has the most followers of anybody anywhere. Like she, and she's getting paid millions and millions of dollars for it. I mean, it's sad. And I don't have the answer on how to fix that, but it's just sad that we don't, we have those resources. We have those people that our Black girls and Black and brown girls can look up to, but it's like far and few between because we're always overshadowed by something, by somebody that is taking pieces of our culture and making it their own.
Yeah. Or they don't respect the Black women that are accessible to us. Like my student said, like, oh, Kim Kardashian's my role model. Like, you have a educated Black woman in front of you that has gone through life experiences that I'm trying to, and you gonna sit here and tell me that a hoe is your role model? Like,
she's not even black. She just likes Black.
I looked at her. In fact, that I'm gonna text my student and tell her I'm talking about it. But I went off on her for like 10 minutes. This was like years ago. That has always stuck with me. But I mean, like Michelle Obama. Look at me, like
audacity.
But Michelle Obama, you know, Felicia Rashad, her sister. What's her sister's name?
Debbie Allen.
Debbie Allen.
Dancing for her life, honey. You and know, giving scholarships out left and right for young Black girls.
It's just,
again, not knowing the knowledge of self. You put yourself into this box and you think the people that are put in front of this TV screen is it, and it's not.
Yeah. Reality TV has really screwed us up. And if you think about it, reality TV wasn't like it is today. Like the first major reality TV show was The Real World on MTV.
And that's what I watched. Yep.
That's, they just filmed people living together. And like the first couple of seasons, it was just, you know.
And then it skirted off into Jersey Shore. And I'm just like, oh, then, these white people is crazy.
And then it expanded and then more drama. And then you have people like Omarosa who love to be the bad guy. And then you have, you know, like, I'm going to say this one thing and we could probably move on. But, you know, like NeNe Leakes, not a big fan of hers. I don't think she's a good person, but she has had beef with everybody on that show. And now, like, she has been straight up nasty and disrespectful to everybody on that show. Just nasty. And now, I don't know exactly what's going on. I think something's going on with her contract and she's demanding more or something. And she's like publicly saying, none of these women have my back and I've supported them. Do we need to roll back the tape of the many things that you have said to these women? Like, you have personally attacked them. And even if you did it for the show, you still did it. You did it, and now you want people to have your back, but you don't remember how you treated them. Like, you treated these women. I don't understand that. I don't understand
it. I feel like all the women that go on Real Housewives and Bad Girls Club, you signed on the dotted line to disrespect other women, disrespect yourself, and look a fool on national television for our young girls growing up to depict this as, this is how you act with people you call your friends. This is how you carry yourself in public. These are the things that you should care about. This is why I have no cable and my children will never see this. And I think it's despicable for the Black women who are a part of these networks that brought this opportunity to these other Black women to portray themselves in a negative light, because it doesn't do anything for us when I want to go to Turks and Caicos and the people that live in Turks and Caicos thinks, oh, she's a Black woman, she's going to act like what we saw on TV. No, she's not. And that is why other countries do not like Black people when they go to visit on vacation and they treat them a certain way, because what's seen on TV is what they think is. And that is not true. Yeah. They do not represent mm-hmm. me. They do not represent my children. Therefore, they should not be on TV. But you keep signing these contracts because you don't want to do anything of value to bring money to your pockets or to your family's pockets. And these executives in their vacation homes will never, ever let a camera touch their home, touch their vacation, and see how they treat each other and their families, because they know better and they have a certain value about themselves. But we always lowering our value for some money.
Yeah. I still think it has to do with the consumer as well. Like, I agree with what you're saying, but I mean, I can remember when T and Tamara had a reality show. They weren't fighting. It was just about them in their careers and them getting married. Nobody watched it. It didn't stay on air because nobody watched it, because they would rather watch Love and Hip Hop or whatever it is. It's the same thing. Like, people have come down on Cardi and Meg, of course, because of the song that they have out. I don't have a problem with it, but because I think everybody
that
can talk,
walk,
anybody can talk about whatever they want. I don't. But like Cardi was saying, if you're upset about this, what about all the other female rappers there are that don't talk about that? You're not buying their music. You're not supporting them. It's tons of them out here that are putting out music, that have videos, that have a small fan base, but you're not listening. You're not doing that. And Cardi, right. She's one of the most honest people out there. She's like, look, yeah. I had songs about regular stuff. You didn't buy it. I put this out. Like, I'm charting. So, of course, I'm going to do this stuff because this is where the money is. I mean, at least she's being honest about it. I'm not saying it's wrong or right, but this is part of what the problem is. I mean, people are going to gravitate towards where the attention is going, depending on what their priorities are. Now, a lot of these other female rappers that don't sing about sexual things, they're going to continue to do what they want to do. They don't care about charting, or maybe they don't care about being right. Rhapsody, Tierra. I mean, I've named them before, like Chica and stuff like that. They're still going to do their thing because that's not their priority. So, I mean, I'm not going to fault Cardi because she's doing that, because that's what her priority is and she's making money. Or maybe Chica is just doing it for the artistry. Everyone has their own priorities set, but the bigger scheme of things is, where is our society where we're uplifting this negative stereotype versus why are we supporting people? If we're talking about these women, where is the backup on the other women that are actually doing the things that you're saying that you want people to do? There's no support behind them. They fall to the wayside. That's all I'm saying.
No, and I agree. I think, you know, it's kind of like a cycle. So, you know, I did watch the T and Tamara reality show. I enjoyed it and was sad that it went off the air, but it's not bringing in money. So what do you do? I'm going to focus on Love and Hip. Like, I stopped watching Love and Hip Hop a couple years ago. I was doing the whole Basketball Wives, but when Evelyn Lozada got up on that table and threw the bottle of wine, I was like, this is enough. And some of the, like, the Real Housewives, I still kind of watch. But I'm just not into that right now. Like, you know, yeah. You know, I want to, like you said, I want to protect my peace, you know, and some of that stuff is like, it bothers me to see Black women. I'm not gonna lie, like, when I watch them white women fight, it doesn't bother me that much. I think it's funny, but like, them women, especially the New York Housewives, I don't watch that show like I used to, but they are ratchet. They are ratchet. But for them, it's okay. But for us, it's, you know, I don't know. Like, I agree with you. It's consumerism, but then it's what sells, and it's just a cycle. So, like, I'm Omarosa. Like, that was her character, and she saw how profitable it was and what it did for her brand, if that's what you want to call it. And that's what she became. And then she wants to work for the White House. And then when that didn't work out, now she wants to humble herself and try to reach out to the Black community. That ain't it. Let's go to the next point. And Chan, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but how can we show more love to ourselves? How can Black women show more love to themselves?
You gotta talk about it. Be about it, and just give other women examples of what it's like to have like self-love. It has nothing to do with the money. It has nothing to do with its status. It's just owning everything that you are and being very honest about what you're working on and not trying to hide it. That's how we go ahead and show it, and just really showing the process. I think digitally we can use social media for truth. It doesn't have to be, do you have a makeup page? It doesn't have to be, do you have hair? Do you do hair tutorials? Let me show you the realness of what it is to be who I am. Let me show you how I went through my process, and not being ashamed of someone seeing you go through your process.
Yep.
I think that's where it starts.
How can we show more love to ourselves? I think it's when you make it a priority, you have to keep that in the forefront, to make that a priority, to say, I am going to take care of myself. Like Shan says, I have a day where I'm just going to do something for myself, or this is what it, once a month, I'm going to do this one thing. It kind of reminds me when you talked about on your podcast about the five love languages, mm-hmm. and how we, if you flip it around, and how do you, instead of someone loving you, how do you use those to love yourself or show yourself those things? And I never really thought about that. I'm not really into the love languages. I've heard of them, but I just never really bought in, you know, thought about them too much. Mm-hmm. But it kind of made me think about what do I do for myself? What is pleasing to me? Is it giving gifts to myself? Is it taking care of myself? Is it affirmations? I mean, do I need to, like, cause I have a book of affirmations. I used to get up and just read something like, you're going to win today. Just something very generic, but just something that, you know, you're using as a motivator. But you have to find those one or two things, I think, in order to start that ball rolling. And once you find something that feels good to you, mm-hmm. I think that'll increase and you'll want to do it more. And then that will help you get on that, you know, on that level. Therapy for me is something that helped a lot, because it kind of takes you out of everything that you're thinking, or all the different things that's going on, and help you kind of like focus on one thing at a time and try to figure those things out. And once you make that breakthrough, at least for me, I'm able to see things so much clearer and so much better now that I am taking care of myself way better than I was before, because I wasn't paying attention to those things that she pointed out to me. So find that one or two things and then just focus on those. And like I said, I think it'll continue to grow if you make it a priority.
Yeah, I thought about this one for a minute. And I think first, you know, like Shan, you said, like the pros and cons of you and just accepting yourself for who you are, and wanting to change because you want to change, not because somebody told you to change. I think you can show more love to yourself by setting boundaries, you know, demanding more from, I don't want to say demanding more, but just, you know, like you said, Jay, just showing people that respect and then expecting that from them. And when they don't, politely let them know. You know, I think setting boundaries with other people, setting boundaries within yourself, like I have to kind of tell myself no and not feel guilty about it. Some other things, just like finding things that fulfill you and making yourself a priority, putting yourself first and then not feeling guilty about it. And you, one of the things when I did research for being a strong Black woman is bad for your health, a lot of these women felt guilty about doing things for themselves. And it wasn't from an outside party. It wasn't other people making them feel guilty. They themselves felt guilty, like, well, I have time. I can go to the church and serve at the funeral. Or I don't have any kids, so there's no excuse why I can't go someplace and stay late. Or, you know, my family is depending on me. It was like all of these outside influences made them feel guilty about putting themselves first and making them a priority. And then one woman even said that she was so involved with helping other people that she didn't know who she was. You know, and we have to know that it's okay. Like, self-care is not selfish. I say that all the time. Self-care is not selfish. Loving yourself is not selfish. Respecting yourself and demanding respect from other people is not selfish. Like, these are things that, like, Black women are regal. We are queens. We are the salt of the earth. We are the beginning and the end. And we need to own that and embrace it. And, you know, there's this saying that, you know, I hope I'm saying this right. Like, I don't, when I walk into the room, like, I want to be like the thermometer. I want to set like the temperature, you know, like when you walk into a room, people should know who you are just by your presence, you know? And I think we need to, like you said, Shan, like, know knowledge of self, know who you are, where you come from. Something that one of my coworkers said that I absolutely love is that he calls his son King, and he expects him to act like a king, and he expects people to treat him like a king. And I thought, I was like, well, that's, I wish I would have thought about that when my son was born, because I would have done the same thing. But now I try to instill in him, well, I've always tried to, but now more than ever, with everything that's going on, him being a Black man in this society, like, you have to know who you are. You have to be confident in who you are. You cannot let anybody, not me, your grandmother, your cousin, you cannot let anybody deter you from knowing who you are. You are a strong, independent, educated, confident Black man. That's who you are, and that's what you have to strive to be. But I think Black women, I think once we get to a point that we really truly love ourselves and we can support one another, I think our community would kind of get it together too. I just wish that Black women, I can't say all, but I just wish that we knew, like, how regal we really, really are. And I think once we have that attitude, like, we'll be unstoppable.
And what you said about demanding respect from others, or that type of reciprocation, is people not calling another woman bougie because she sets a certain standard of what she expects from other people. And I think a lot of women will do that. Well, you think you're better than? It's not about me thinking I'm better than. It's about me carrying myself a certain way, knowing my value, and I would like that in return. And that's just what it is. And I think a lot of women have to get to a point where we're willing to unlearn some unhealthy habits, because we have unhealthy habits. And if you really look at where those habits that you do come from, you'll see that it's not needed.
Yeah, I think that too. I think some Black women have a lot of self-hatred, but I definitely think that a lot of Black women hate other Black women. Like, that's a whole nother subject. Like I said, you know, I've gone into stores and women give me the stink look, and I'm just walking, I'm just getting a bag of cereal. Like, I'm just shopping. I'm minding my business. Like, I haven't done anything to you. I'm, like, baffled by it. But I do think that there is a lot of hatred amongst each other. And when another Black woman does carry herself with dignity and self-respect, some people don't know how to take that. And it's maybe it's projection. I don't know if projection is the right word, but it makes them defensive. You know, like you said, like, oh, you're bougie. You think you better than me. No, I just respect myself and I have an air of, you need to respect me too.
Yeah, I dealt with that a lot with other relatives that were born and raised in Jamaica. And then I was born here, but I would visit frequently back and forth. And they always have like this defensiveness of always having to speak themselves up around me to let me know that they can do this and that. I'm just like, well, why is my presence making you feel like you gotta give me your resume every time? And it's that insecurity that happens a lot with foreigners and Americans, where they feel like we are superior because we are American. And I deal with that a lot, but it's completely something different. That's a completely different subject, but that is an issue with women among other women, where they feel like they have to be on defense all the time.
Well, the conversation is coming to a close, but there were some pretty interesting points that I think we covered. I think we definitely talked about Black women, how being a Black woman, how we are the backbone of the community, of society, of our families, and how that can cause us to, or prevent us from fully embracing who we are and fully allowing ourselves to love ourselves because we don't want to let other people down, or we are afraid to ask for help, or we don't feel like we are worthy of being loved. I think we touched on, you know, Jay, I think you made a very good point, like, who does love us? You know, thinking of society and how, you know, the darker skinned Black woman isn't seen as beautiful, but white women go out and get butt injections and lip injections, and, you know, they hate us, but they want to look like us, you know, and how consumerism basically can influence what we see on TV, and how what we see on TV, we want to emulate, how it influences our behavior, especially with these young girls out here. Yeah. You know, when Bad Girls Club came on, I was like, oh my God, I never watched. I think I watched like maybe one episode, but I was like, now I get it. Now I get why these girls come to school and act the way they do, because I mean, just the name Bad Girls Club.
That was a mess from the beginning. I think I watched 2 seasons of that. And yeah,
I watched it to a point where after the show was off and I saw the people individually, they didn't know how to let go of that persona.
Yeah.
And they ended up needing therapy to work through that show. And I was like, ah. I was like, nah.
Yeah, I don't think I watched, I think maybe one episode. And then of course there's that, it's, I don't know if it's a meme, but the girl banging pots where she was like, I'm got getting no sleep. That was kind
of, I remember that was infamous.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's not funny.
I watched her season.
And
she completely changed though since being on the show. Like 180.
Wow. Did she need therapy? She probably did.
I don't know. She went through something, but she's such a different person now.
Well, I think even I Love New York, I think she's calmed down a little bit too.
She has a very stale relationship with her mother.
Listen, that's another conversation for another.
Exactly.
I mean, you talk about toxic, codependent, abusive. Yeah. I mean, you name it. But again, go back to what Jay said about consumerism. Like, This is what attracts people to the show. Like, there was that one episode in I Love New York where they went to church and the mom was up there screaming. And I just said, what pastor allowed this? Did the money they give you, was it really, is it worth it? Like, is this even, I don't know, I was just, we brought up some good points, ladies. We brought up some good points. But before we end, you know, I love some quotes, and I did ask you to choose quotes that you feel describes Black women and self-love. So tell us what your quote is and why you chose it.
Well, I gave one earlier that you can't pour from an empty cup, where you want to make sure you're all the way 100% before you pour into somebody else, because you don't want two unfulfilled people. And my second quote would be, do what your inner self is telling you, because she knows best. I think we all have an inner peace that speaks to us first, and then what we see on the outside of who we are kind of may overtake or dictate if we go with it. And I think a lot of us end up regretting not going with our first intention and our first gut feeling. And so I've made it a priority to go with my gut feeling first for the last 10 years. It has gotten me further, and I've been more thankful for going with my gut feeling than choosing what someone else wanted me to do.
And I got my quote from the famous RuPaul. And at the end of her show, which I love RuPaul's Drag Race, she always says, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Yeah, can I get amen? And that's it. That's self-explanatory. You have to learn how to love yourself. Like you guys were saying, you can't pour from an empty cup. My mom used to always say a car with no gas doesn't go anywhere. Like, you have to fill yourself up first to be able to give to anybody, or at least in the right way, because then it becomes something different if you're not. Like, you have to make sure yourself is being taken care of in whatever way that looks like. So you got to love yourself if you're going to love somebody else.
Amen. My quote comes from the fabulous Jill Scott, from her song Rolling Hills. And when she said it, I was like, oh my God, I love this so much. And the lyric is, I'm a prized possession, not everybody is worthy. And that to me is just, I mean, it's self-explanatory. Like, not everybody can handle my greatness. I'm not for everybody. Everybody's not for me. And that's okay. And I'm all right with that. I taught seniors for a long, actually I taught 10th grade, and I actually taught them 10th, 11th, and 12th. And a lot of my girls, I wrote that in their yearbook. Like, you're a prized possession, not everybody is worthy, because I wanted them to know, like, you can't let everybody access you physically and mentally and emotionally and all that other, because you are a prized possession and not everybody is worth what you got. And yeah, that quote just always stuck with me. And I, you know, sometimes when I'm feeling down, I tell myself that, you know, that imposter syndrome ain't no joke, y'all. It ain't no joke. I'm doing a episode on that soon, but yeah, that's my quote. All right. So ladies, I want to thank you so very much for coming on. Please take this time to promote yourself, promote your shows, anything else you got going on, so the people can know and support.
She Gets It podcast, where I talk about everything outside of momming and being a parent. Also, you can follow Patreon/She Gets It. And Cozy Womb podcast is about everything parenting and becoming better parents for our kids, so they can be better people later on. You can follow Cozy Womb Pod on IG and Cozy Womb Podcast on Twitter. And So What Page We On Bear is a podcast where we do books. Right now we're doing a book called Pleasure by Eric Jerome Dickey, which is a page turner. Next season, we will be doing The Coldest Winter Ever by Sister Soulja, a little throwback. So we'll be like piecing apart that. So I just try to keep it really fun and funky. So you can find me on social media and whoishan.com.
And don't forget your clothing too. Gotta promote.
Oh, yes. There's merch everywhere. Mama's Cozy Closet, Cozy Womb on Teespring. She gets it on Teespring, and Who is Shan on Teespring. So I got a lot of goodies on there.
All right. And me, which I don't have any merch. I don't have all that stuff yet. I'm still a baby in the game, but this is Jay. I have Jay's Quick 3 podcast. Pretty much I take 3 random topics. It can be anything from news to pop culture to entertainment to personal stories. I talk about them. Typically, my episodes are between maybe 30 and 40 minutes, unless I have a guest on. But yeah, I just come out and I give my own take, my own opinion on things that I find interesting. And sometimes I throw in some good tidbits that maybe people can resonate with. The show is on IG at J's Quick 3. So without the apostrophe, JS Quick, the number 3. You can follow me on Twitter at my own page, which is JBook for show. So JBOOG, the number 4 SHO. And if you go to jsquick3.buzzsprout.com, that is my host site, and all my episodes are there. My social media is there. My email, all that good stuff is there. So hopefully you guys come check me out. And thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate the invitation.
Oh, thank you for coming on. Hopefully that helps a lot of ladies. So make sure that you give a listen, rate, and review their shows. Also subscribe. And I'm going to have all of their links and their information in the episode notes. And if you follow me on Instagram, they will be this Saturday's hashtag Saturday Spotlight, where they will tell you a little bit more about themselves and their podcast and all that they got going on. So once again, ladies, thank you for taking the time out to record with me. I thank you for being flexible. When my aunt passed, I just couldn't get myself together to try to record. It would have been a horrible show, and I didn't want to do that to my brand, and I definitely didn't want it to do that to your brand. So thank you for just being supportive and flexible with changing the dates. So I want to thank my day one listeners, my present day listeners, and my college underground radio listeners. Until the next conversation, stay well. Peace.
Thank you. Peace.